All right, Zach, so introduce yourself to the listeners.
Oh, my name is Zachary Bennett. I'm an actor. What else?
Musician? You left out musician.
Oh, musician? Yeah, I'm an ex-child actor. I'm a musician. I've written some stuff. Yeah, how's it going?
So you previously said, I saw in an interview, that you are the Swiss Army knife of Canadian talent. So I would agree with that statement, but would you care to elaborate on all the different types of projects that you have done in your career?
Sure, yeah. I love my cocksure statements that come out of my head. I'm mostly known for my film and television work in Canada, but I also have an extensive voice career. I do a bunch of different cartoons, and I also do, you know, video games, and oh my gosh. And I had a band called Tin Star Orphans, and we released 3 records. We don't exist anymore, but
Well,
it lasted.
Right. So tell
that's
us
about it. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Tell us about Tin Star Orphans, if you don't care.
Yeah. It was it started as a vanity project for an actor. Bluntly honest, I mean, I was really into bands like Wilco, like Neutral Milk Hotel, lots of acoustic rock nonsense that I still love to this day. But I started writing songs on my acoustic 6-string, and slowly but surely started putting a band together. And then before we knew it, we were like, well, let's try this live. And it was when it started, actually, we weren't Tin Star Orphans. I called my band Yonder.
Right.
And we released our first album which is Tin Star Orphans' first album after it came out. But it originally came out under the name Yonder as the title Skywalk to Crescent Town. And it was very, very rootsy country rock. It was a large band at the time that it came out. We had a horn section and a string section.
Wow.
It was very ambitious. And I listened to that first record once in a while, and I laugh at how just nasally, I still smoked cigarettes at the time, and I was I wasn't trained in any way.
You smoked cigarettes? I'm done. I'm done with the interview. What? No.
Oh, man,
no,
yeah.
No.
No, I smoked them 4 at a time. Very weird to watch. And it was just kind of like a vanity project, I call it, because it was just an actor trying his hand at being a rock star, and it was kind of fun. And then I ended up forming some really tight relationships with some of the people I was working with, in particular Dean Marino, who engineered the first album and kind of laid down some guitar, but ended up after that joining the band and becoming the lead guitarist. And by the end of the life, he was the co-producer and everything. So, you know, once we turned it, we got signed to a small label in Toronto, and we had to change our name because it turns out Yonder is not an original name, and a bunch of other bands were called Yonder.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can imagine.
So instead of going the Bush X route, which is what Bush had to call themselves in Canada, we decided to just change it to Tin Star Orphans. And basically, a Gold Star Orphan is an orphan of a soldier in World War I. Mm-hmm. And so my idea, with keeping with the dusty country vibe, was Tin Star Orphan is maybe an orphan from like a sheriff who's gunned down or something. So that's where that came from.
I like it. I love the name.
Thanks.
Really do. And the music's good. I actually re-listened to some when I was prepping for the interview. So I went on Apple. I have Apple Music, and went on, just, you know, downloaded a few albums and just let them play through, right? You know, so it's kind of nice to revisit, because it had been a while since I'd listened to any, you know. So it was really cool to kind of get back and hear some of that again. So what was the most challenging project that you took on, be it film, musically? What challenged you the most?
Well, that's a good question. Challenged me the most.
It can even be something personally. It doesn't have to be professionally.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, music was a challenge in many ways because I'm self-taught. And being in a band, we broke up about 5 years ago, but still, it's a very difficult, music industry is insane.
Yeah.
The music industry is, you are nothing until you are everything. And that is a very, very, thin margin.
Yeah.
and we busted our asses and to promote our shows and play live, devoted fans, but a very small fan base. And we just never made a living off of it. In fact, I'm still in debt to the label I was on.
Oh, wow.
Because they just, that's how it works. It's they say they're doing something for you, and then they chalk up, you know, the debt list, and, you know, it's, you sign on the dotted line, you kind of, you're stuck with it. But it was a very difficult time to try to, it was a very challenging time for my ego, because, you know, as an actor, you can kind of just nestle into the characters you play and just call it a day at that. But when it comes time, it comes to music, I was writing everything and playing everything and recording everything. And I did everything. And right. So not gaining success. And I've never wanted any kind of fame. It just, but success for the band and for the music. And when it didn't come, it felt like a very, I took it very personally.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. And just playing live shows. I've never toured. You know, I've done like three show tours and, you know, let's play out of the city for a couple of nights kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I've never gone on an extensive tour, and I'm kind of grateful for that. I have a lot of friends who do that, and I don't think I have the I don't think I had the pipes for it then or now, and or just the stamina for it at all. So yeah, so just trying to exist for, you know, and we did that for a good 10 years. We played in that band, and I think we were proud of the music that we got out of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's hard not to see it as a bit of a failure, because it's so hard to gain traction as a band.
Well, I wouldn't say a failure. You'd be a failure if you didn't try. It exists.
Oh, there you go.
It exists. So you know, you can't say that you failed, right? But did, no, you know, as you said though, at the, you know, at the top of the interview, you can technically be considered, I guess, a child actor, right? In the late 80s, early 90s. And you know, in the US there's a stigma that sometimes comes with that, because so many child stars end up out of work and in negative situations, but you, however, have not. You just continued working and just radiating positivity. Like, it just, you just flowed from child actor to adult actor. So what do you attribute your continued success? I wouldn't say adult actor. I guess that's probably a I guess that's probably not the correct term. A grown-up actor. What do you attribute your continued success?
A larger child actor. Yeah. I owe a lot of it to Rhode Davenly, because I was able to remain employed in my early teenage years, and that's a really, you know, my voice broke when I was working. Like, I was already, you know, when a child turns and gets pubescent, especially a boy, I mean, it's, they don't get much work. It's kind of like, okay, kid, we'll see it when you grow up, and maybe you'll still have that talent, or maybe the cute is gone.
Yeah, we're either going to hire you when you're a boy or a man, but we're not going to hire you while you're in between, right? So
yeah. Exactly. You remember Haley Joel Osment as a child?
Yes.
You see him now, but where was he for, you know, that section of time? And that's most cases. And I was lucky enough to have a gig that got me through the awkward phase. And then, yeah, I've always been a very passionate performer. And I would run from my tutor, who would try to be, you know, making me do my math just so I could hide on set and actually learn things, learn what the DP is doing,
right?
Or, you know, learn things about sound or anything, like just getting behind the camera and learning as much as I could, even as a child. So I've always been just very passionate about acting and about the industry in general.
That's awesome.
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah.
So the New York Times called Road to Avonlea one of television's most successful family shows, which I would agree. What impact do you feel that Road to Avonlea had on your career?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
It had an impact on my craft, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because of what I just said, I mean, how much I was able to glean over those years, through fellow performers and the crew. I would say my career took a bit of a hit coming off of it, because I came off of it. I was about 16 years old, I think. And all the casting directors that knew of me, still saw me as kind of a chubby little 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And it took a number of years for me to change their mindset on that. And so it was a very kind of frustrating time for me, because I was ready to take on serious roles.
Yeah.
And I keep getting auditions for goofy little kids doing silly shit. And so it took some time. But yeah, it definitely made my name, at least in the circles I was in Canada, it got me a leg up. It got my foot in the door for a lot of interviews because of that show, for sure.
Right. Awesome. And so, philosophical question, just for the Avonlea fans. So we last saw the Road to Avonlea King family at Christmas during World War I. Felix arriving back home safely after he's missing in combat. What do you think the rest of Felix's life was like?
Well, let me tell you. Okay, so in the finale of the series, not that's Happy Christmas, Miss King, right?
Yes.
But the finale of the series, I joined the Navy.
Yes.
And somehow I ended up in the trenches with the Army. So I want to know what the fuck happened there. But to answer your question,
that's a valid point. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
I was very excited by this, by the Happy Christmas, Miss King script, because it was kind of dark for him. And and although I wasn't in it so much because I was MIA for most of it, but even when he came back, I got kind of just a touchdown on a little bit of PTSD. And I really kind of got excited about the idea of like Felix growing up back home, but trying to find himself again with maybe the traumas of war and maybe the wounds of war. I don't know how badly he was injured, but, you know, kind of a Hemingway take on where he would go. So
I would watch that show. Reboot.
Yeah, right.
Reboot it. They're doing it to everything else. Reboot it. I'd love it.
Exactly. Reboot Road to Avonlea. Let me call Sarah Polly. See what? No, she said no.
That was fast. God, you act like you knew what she would say or something. Jeez.
It was funny. Sarah and I just worked together. She produced it and directed a web series on CBC called Hey Lady, with the Jane Eastwood. It was a comedy. It was really a lot of fun, and I got to play the part of Jane Eastwood's confused and stressed out son. And Sarah and I got to work together again after all these years. We've remained good friends, but it was funny because we would talk about our time as child actors, and she'd go, "Hey, do you want to venture into the trauma cave again?" Fair enough.
She's got to jump in a time machine too, so we go back, you know, to the appropriate year. Yes, so, you know, not necessarily when you were kids, but I'm talking like, you know, Prince Edward Island in like the early
1900s. Right. Yeah.
So, how about a Zachary Bennett podcast? You ever thought about doing that?
I started one a long time ago. That ended up just kind of basically it was me talking about music and how much I liked it. And then I play a lot of music. And then I ended up, it was called Dusty's Conundrum, which was actually, I had a live music night that I put together many, many years back in Toronto that I called Dusty's Conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I started this podcast. Do you know Alan Cross? He has the History of New Music.
Yes.
he's got this very, very specific way of talking. And I, again, it was like an actor with a vanity project. I was like talking like Alan Cross as I talked about things. Let me take you back to this time. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not fucking me. What am I doing? And so I stopped actually recording myself and just recorded like 2.5 hour edited music mixes of all my favorite music.
I know what you mean. You have to find what your
conundrum volume three.
Yeah, you just you got to find what you're comfortable with doing, and you know, like this, like right now, this is awesome. I would listen to every episode of this, like you know, just you talking like this, it's awesome. But
I love podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but yeah, no, I don't know if I'd ever actually put one together or not.
Do you have
how much work is it? You tell me.
It's so next question. no.
Exactly.
It's actually not too bad. In all honesty, it's really not once you get into it, but yeah, you have to it has to be something that like you are dedicated to doing. So, yeah. Do you have any projects coming up that you would like to mention?
Geez, that's a good question. What did I just do? Oh, I just did there's a show here in Canada called Coroner. Mm-hmm. And it's going into its fourth season now on CBC. Is it on CBC? No, it's not on CBC. Anyways, the show is called Coroner, and I was the guest star for the first episode of the new season.
Were you a body?
No, I was a disgruntled small town detective.
Oh, okay. That, yeah. Okay. Well, I will have to check that out for sure. You know, because again, you know, I'm a Zach Bennett fan, so I'll definitely look into that episode at least. So,
I have a bunch of video games, but because of NDAs, I can't actually tell you
about them. Okay. Yeah, fair.
That's great. So keep playing, AAA video games. And keep listening.
I always give the guest the last word. And some people are like, oh my God. Like, okay, so any last words you would like to leave the listeners with?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, see? No pressure. It's just what's like, going to be engraved on your tombstone. That's it, you know? So.
Any last words about what?
About anything. Is there anything you want to say? You got anything you want to say before we dismiss?
Just that chicken wings exist for a reason, and more people should perfect the wing, and more people should challenge the mediocrity of most of the wings out there, because a good wing is, my God, I'm salivating right now just thinking about it.
Do you like buffalo or barbecue, or does it matter?
Oh, no, hands down buffalo.
Oh, heck yeah. Brian, Dawson, and Trevor haven't recorded segments this week because our episode's guest is Zachary Bennett. As fate would have it, one of Zachary's former co-stars on Road to Avonlea, David Fox, passed away last Saturday, November 13th. This episode is a special episode in memory of David Fox. Zachary was gracious enough to record a little something in his honor. David Fox, 1941 to 2021.
Hey man, how's it going? Thank you so much for reaching out about this and giving me the opportunity to say a few words. David Fox. Wow, that one was hard. Harder than I honestly thought it would be. I didn't know David that well personally. But yeah, so David played Clive Pettibone on Road to Avonlea. And, you know, when we got those scripts and first read this character, it was apparent that he was almost villainous. You know, he was ex-military widower turned school teacher. And so when I met David, it was on set. And, you know, I was a kid and I was actually thinking of meeting the character and not the actor. And so I had these kind of preconceptions of a very kind of intensely hard, serious man who maybe doesn't like kids too much. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. And I met him, and I couldn't have been more wrong. David Fox has a disarming kindness that he showed to me within our first handshake, and I never saw anything else from that man. He was just the sweetest, sweetest person. And as a child actor, you know, you're kind of used to being treated by grown-ups in one of two ways. One, the kind of saccharine condescension way, or two, kind of politeness that simply veils their contempt for you being in their way. And then there's like this small third camp, this very rare camp of people who treated me exactly how I wanted to be treated. I wanted to be treated as an equal, as a co-worker, as a co-collaborator. And David did that in spades. He was such a pleasure to work with. He was just, yeah, as I said, so kind, so gracious, and just so supportive of everyone around him. And my heart goes out to Gavin, his son, and the rest of his family and friends. It's just such a tremendous loss. And if you have a drink in front of you, whether it's coffee like I have or, you know, scotch, I don't know, raise it to one of the finest people there is, David Fox. Cheers.
On behalf of Beam Me Up, please visit AntonYelchinFoundation.org. Thank you.